Welcome to the Building Church. At the Building Church, we are committed to raising up people of balanced stature for Jesus in all phases of life. Join God's servant, Pastor Jeremiah James, as he brings the word with clarity, grace, and truth.
So before verse 18, the Bible says, asking them, having their understanding to be eliminated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. I want you to pray that, Father, my understanding cannot be darkened. In the name of Jesus, I'm not alienated from the life of God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I'm not separated from the life of God. In the name of Jesus. Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. I say, for in Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Glory to God. Okay. Last week, we started on a powerful series. You see, the series are so much looking like into themselves that even while I was preparing today for today's session, I almost thought that I was preaching on a Wednesday. That is the reproduce. So the things is joined together and it's good. Why? Because our focus is actually fruitfulness for the month, right? I say you are sponsored by the word to be fruitful. You are sponsored by the anointing to be fruitful. Glory to God. And then you are sponsored by all the water systems to be fruitful. In Jesus' name. Alright, glory to God. I said glory to God. Are we feeling cold? Alright. So, last week, we took the interrogative part of and definition of time to the power of productivity. And I want you to read back to me what your definition was, what you wrote as a definition. 2, 3, go. There's only one person hearing. What was the definition you wrote down? 2, 3, go. Let's wait for others. It's only two persons I'm hearing. All of us, let's open to the scripture that we said now. Let's open to our notebook, what we wrote down. And I want to encourage that, you see, when you come to church, like today now, the highest person that is going to get the highest from this sermon I'm preaching now, that person is going to get maximum 30% of everything I said. And that is the best person that got everything I said. He's going to get 30% of it. Why? Some other people are not even going to get any percent of what I'm saying. Why? Because there is power in listening to what is being said. Take for instance, the mic now. All of you are looking at the mic. You are looking at the water set. You are looking at people that are moving around. When the word is coming, you may be distracted. And like I was telling the leaders, I said, when I'm preaching now, if there's anything you do not get, you can't pause me. And I say, pause and rewind. No, no. But when you are listening online or you are listening by downloading the audio file from thebuildingchurch.org/sermon, you are listening by downloading the audio file. That time, if you do not get anything, you can rewind it. And that's why I said it's only 30%, because most time, check your notes. Huh? Last week notes you wrote, there are many things that the sentence was not complete. That I said, even this definition, some of you stop at productivity is the ability. And then we are going back to that note. Okay, how does that bless you? Productivity, the ability. Ability to what? Are we on the same page? So I want to encourage all of us to always re-listen to the sermon again. It's help to help our routine. Do we get that? Alright, I want to believe all of us are already there now. Quickly go, let's read now. Yes, what is productivity? Easy. In alignment to you. Alright. What did I also say about it again? It puts in tumble right. Some people stop at improving intentional work. That brings and transformation and results. We are doing well. Please celebrate yourself. We have tried. Celebrate yourself. So the essence is not that we are trying to catch up. The essence is that all of us comprehend what is being taught. So it's actually this what it says. It's not just about activity. It's about fruitful, intentional work that brings transformation and result. All right. So let's, and then our anchor scripture that last week was what? Matthew 25, right? 14 to 30. And then our emphasis was on 26, where we read it in MSG and Amplify. Then we touched some other scriptures. So today we are diving a bit higher. He said, the master was furious. That is a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live, cautiously like that. If you knew I was after the, why do you do less than the, and I said that a number of us are going to have personal statements, right? Hope we have started creating our personal statements. Like for me now, I said, I repented that, oh, Father, if there's any investment you made in me that I have not reciprocated that, I'm ready to be wasted on you, right? And then I shared the story of how Bishop Francis Waluke came to learn. All right, great. All right, so we now check other scriptures like Matthew 21:19, where the Bible was talking about seeing a fig tree, he went and found nothing on it except leaves. We read that in an Amplified translation. We also explained that under fruitfulness, right? All right, so very quickly now, benefits of being fruitful. Father, help us. So today, I'm going to tag this other charge, perception of productivity. Yeah, perception. We already introduced productivity. Now, you cannot be productive. We define it, but you cannot be productive if you don't even know the perception, the right perception to productivity. Glory to God. All right, our next scripture, the scripture we are going to be reading for today's... The scripture we are going to be reading for today's just in 2 Kings is one of the scriptures we'll use. But let's start 2 Kings chapter 4 from verse 1 to 7. Can we just pray in the Holy Ghost just briefly? Pray in the Holy Ghost just briefly. Pray. 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 You can do better. Don't wait for in Jesus' name as we pray. What he's doing is that it's preparing your own spirit for the word. Is preparing your spirit for the word. Pray, pray. Pray in Jesus' mighty name, have we pray. Alright. Now, 2 Kings chapter 4 from verse 1 to 7. I love us, what that title of today's on, yes, the perception of productivity. Now, look at this. It said, the wife of a woman from the company of a prophet cry out, let's read together, to who? Elisha, your servant, my husband is, and you know that he reverend the, now, that is, he revered the Lord. Now, if, thank you, man, he revered the Lord. Now, if you check this, when we are doing understanding spiritual authority and spiritual growth, rather, we make reference to something we call the fear of the Lord, right? If we said love for God, rather, we said it can be categorized into what? The fear of the Lord and what? And honor for God. Honor for God and the fear of God.
Now, the fear of God is now further divided into two. We now said, okay, the fear of the Lord, for you to fear the Lord, is that you can dread the Lord, right? Then you can now what? Reference the Lord, right? That is reference that comes from the fear of God. That is not like, hey, who was back by me? You know, sir, and I know, but that you just like, I reverence the Lord. Now, give me this in KJV so that you understand why revere the Lord is there. Give me this in KJV. I want to show you something actually. KJV, please, can we read that part together? Thy servant, my husband is, and thou knowest that thy servant did what? Aha. So that means that here, this man feared the Lord. He feared the Lord. There was the fear of the Lord upon him. But look at what now happened to him. He said, and what happened is that this guy, as far as he feared the Lord, he was in debt. Yes. He had the fear of the Lord, but he was in debt. He was in debt. So let me quickly tell you that you fear the Lord does not guarantee that you are going to be productive. Yes. Because are we not seeing together? I say he feared the Lord. So that means that he had the fear of God. He feared God. And that's why when we went out yesterday, we were also making reference. So if you hear the wrong message, you will believe for the wrong reason. If you hear the wrong message, something like, of course, it is true that when you receive Christ into your life, many things will change in your life, but it's just the beginning. It is just the beginning. Giving back to a child, I want a child, is the beginning of parenting. It doesn't mean that after you give back to children, you are not a parent. No, you just gave back, you became a father, you donated sperm, or maybe a female, you donate egg. That is just the beginning. Parenting. You see, after that, every woman, a whiz, the word next, you know that, because, or one woman, physical, or whatever, packing whatever, that is real parenting, not some nanny things. Are we on the same page? So that this man feared the Lord did not guarantee his productivity. And then there is actually something I want to propose. Okay, maybe I will make reference to this back after we continue our reading, because there is something I took note from this man that feared the Lord when he was alive. Obviously, for after some times, maybe let's say 3 months, 4 months, or whichever time duration after which he had died. Now, the Bible said, if you check, I think it's EMSD or Living Bible, he said, okay, no, it's even this KJV, thank you. Please, can we read it together? He said, now, there cry a certain woman, yes, of the wife, the sons of the prophets. He was part of the son of Elisha. And one of the gifts he had is that he feared the Lord. There was the fear of the Lord inside him. But why his master was productive, he was not. Because, take with me for instance, how many of you were there a few ways in your schools? Like, you know, understand, when they don't understand, they come to meet you. How many of you? Okay, no problem. That means that because now when you start giving back to children, you cannot now tell them that you used to pass in school. And now because all of you did not raise your hand, how many of you did they used to come and meet that, please help me with this? Pastor me is raising his hand now. Because you know that you have to tell the children that he was the best student. Because if all our parents were best students, who are not the one that were failing? Please reach it. Alright. So, imagine with me for a while that when you have the best student in the class, if you are failing in any area, please, will you go and meet the person that is Rupu in class? That I've been failing. And I say, welcome, a bed of the same friend that flocked together. Come on, boy. All of us should fail together. Are we on the same page? If you fail, who will you go and meet? The best student in the class now that have A, that is means A is overflow, A prime. You say, please explain this to me, I don't understand. And they take a level of humility to do that. So what it implies is that this woman was in debt. She did not have money. There was issue in her life. After her husband had died, who feared the Lord? Who was more close to the prophet than herself? Right? Now, the Bible now says, next verse, very quickly, he said, now, creditors came, they want to come and seize the two children because the husband feared the Lord and he was not productive in his fear of the Lord. Have you? He said, and Elisha said, carry me back. I just that verse one I needed. Thank you. He said, Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Now, she went to Elisha. Somebody is dead. She is now going to go and meet Elisha. Elisha is not bank. But the husband was the one that was close to Elisha. In fact, when she came, she must have been explaining herself to that I'm one of your servants. I was the one. So that means that when Elisha was He went back home and told the wife that there was bread. Oh, you know, Elisha was part of the people that multiplied bread apart from Christ. Bread was not enough. The guy multiplied it. So one of these sons of the prophet, obviously he has been seen as fell inside where inside ocean. Instead of them to go and look for divers, he just went and said, where did he fall?
He said, this place. Then he said, I don't want to show too much today. Then he carried his stick and said, which area? Point to it. And then he just threw stick. And then the axe flew.
Even me, I will be one of the sons of the prophet. What is the prophet coming up with today? Then there was a time there was death in the pot. Then the guy just went out, death in the pot. Leave that thing. And then he said, heaven will flower. I've used this to explain before, death in the pot. That actually, when you eat food, you have to eat another food to neutralize the death in the pot. This is what it implies. That cucumber, that vegetable that you do not like, or you like chicken, you are eating death in the pot. In regards to what Elisha did, the flour he poured, because there was death in the pot, he poured food inside the death. And then the death came alive. So what it implies is that you can eat food to neutralize another food that you ate that was death. That is why it's called balanced diet. You like egusi, you shift it to one side. Me like one. That's why you see that you are like this. Because there is death in the pot. It's killing other parts of your body while other parts are alive. So he said, where is flour? He puts flour inside the death that is inside the pot you are eating. And he said there was no longer death. So some of you, some recurring sicknesses that you are having is because you have been taking death in the pot. Selah. Some of the things you see, that repent that you are trying to do for all the cellular that they did not give you. All the, what is the other thing that children take? None. All the none. Now you are now 30. Because they did not give you when you were young. You are eating 70 egg. You understand? You just order a crate of egg and boil everything and eat it at once. There is death in the pot. There is death in the pot. Are we on the same page? So, now, carry me back to that, my scripture. Thank you. He said, how can I help you? So Elisha was like, okay, how can I help you? Then tell me, what do you have in your house? That is what Elisha said to him. Can we read together? What did she say, please, very quickly? Wait. Our Father, help us. What did I call our topic again? Now look at this woman. And that's why I say I will come back to the husband time. Hope you know that when the husband was alive, the oil obviously was not little. They must have been using that oil for it to have reached that level of little. When the man that had the fear of God was alive, the oil was too much. Yes, sir. There was too much oil when he was alive. Yet he was still in debt. That means that any miracle that happened to this woman with this little oil, if your husband had seen this oil earlier, and had gone to the man of God, you won't have to borrow. By this time, the oil was almost empty. There was almost no more thing they can do with that oil again. So when they asked what they have at home, they say, we don't have anything. There's nothing at home. There's nothing at home. They should not like, except for, I think there is one little oil. Yes, we have little oil. But when the husband was alive, they had much oil. Another thing that my perspective is that, hope you know, it took the husband dying for the wife to go and do what the husband should have done. Because initially, he shouldn't have been borrowed. When you had so much access, and let me help you, some of you allow proximity and, familiarity to deprive you of the benefit of proximity. Okay, continue. You allow familiarity to deprive you of the benefit of proximity. Yeah, that's just fine. Everybody, people are not writing, everybody just shaking head. Okay, is it too deep? It is not that deep now. That is now. This man was actually more closer. That is what it means. He was more closer to Elisha than his wife. That is proximity. Hope you know that there are some things you want to do, no matter how happy you want to do it. You don't have the access to the person. You don't have the access. So that's what I'm saying, that some of you allow familiarity to deprive you of the benefit of proximity. The things you should have learned by observation, that you even have access to the house. The thing, hope you know, Ben Carson's mom, the reason why Ben Carson's life was changed was not because everyone wanted him to be like that alone. It's the fact that the mother had access, which is proximity, to the house of the rich. So what the mother was doing is that anytime she comes, she discovered that her children were always watching TV. Then she was cleaning for the rich and discovered that the rich have TVs, but they don't watch it. She's like, they have TV, they are not watching it. They have TV, they are not watching it. But my children are always watching TV. The first rule she did was because of proximity. She had access to those people. So the first thing she did to her children, they are, hey, going forward, you have only, I remember the story correctly, you have only 2 hours a week to watch your TV. Ben Carson said he almost died. And then the mother now said, all of you, we have to resume to library. I want to be reading book. The guy that was a D student, he did not like reading book, nothing. But because of the proximity, look at it now. If the mother was not close enough to the rich, Ben Carson will have died and think that is how God wants him to live. And think that what was supposed to be to his advantage was a disadvantage. Because of, you know, their parents left them. Their mom, their father left them rather. And it was only the mother that was being a single mom, single parent, up and down for them. And do you know that because of that regulation, because of what the mother saw the rich doing, it shaped the life of Ben Carson forever. That the mother said, you are going to go to library, you are going to read any book and be giving me a report. Because this is what I see rich people do. So what happened was that the guy will go, then he has to go to library. And then he will be reading, he likes reading on stone or something like that, if I remember the story correctly, mountains and all of that thing. So he was reading on it, and then all of a sudden, the teacher now brought a stone to class. I was like, student, what is this? They consulted the best students. The guy said nonsense. They consulted now, and the guy said nonsense. Then he said he raised his hand. And while he raised his hand, everybody was laughing. The best student, no, you were. Lower arm. So he now called the name of the stone. And you know the irony. There's no way you will have known the name of the stone if it was not in the library. There are some things that are not happening in your life now because you are far away from the library. But it all starts from perception. What can you see? Perception, proximity. How close are you to what you say you want to become? Because the more you behold, the more you become. So the woman saw possibility. She had been hearing about the possibility of what the husband had been telling her. Because another thing she would have done, because while she was seeing possibility that the prophet can solve solution, the husband was seeing possibility from loan sharks. Opie. T.O.P. You understand? What is the name of the old sap? That is where the husband was seeing possibility from. Yet he was very close to the prophet. He never saw the prophet borrow once. Let me quickly help you guys, the building church people. This project that is doing, that is ongoing, we have not borrowed once from any government, alive or dead. Yeah. And that is why I'm saying that most times people allow familiarity deprive them of the benefit of proximity. On purpose, when I see people that are productive, I used to make reference to them. I say, hear this person. Hear what this person says. It's on purpose so that you, if you need anything in that direction, you can ask for it. And say, enjoy by me. Help me. Help me. Do you know how many pastors I asked that I want to see when the vision for the building church came? In fact, for one, I traveled down to Lagos. Traveled down. For almost 3-5 hours, asking questions. I went with 30 questions of how not to do ministry wrongly. 30. Sir, according to whatever. Now, you have been this before. Please, sir, what will you think is this? What will you think is that? Some of the decisions we said we wanted to do before, if we have continued, some of you will not even be here. That is the truth. Because I get some before no property. They are doing like a competitor. Your chest is like this. Your shoulder is as if you have boy. You know what I'm saying? They are moving around with empty, nothing. You don't know anything. Proximity. Don't joke with proximity. That gift of access should not be mistaken for familiarity. Because let me help you. Familiarity is not good for any kind of relationship. Any. Father, mother, mother, father, sister, sister, brother, sister, in-law, uncle, uncle, auntie, and all of those English names is not good. I take advantage of proximity. I'm not just familiar, and I will not take familiarity for any reason. Do we get that? So what happened was that when the oil was too much, that man did not even go to the prophet. And I will not be shocked if it was the devil that killed him. Yes, he was just thinking, Then I said, I better not be alive for them to come and carry the children. Then he couldn't die. And I allowed the wife to be taking care of the children. I went the same bit. But what did the woman say? She said, except a little oil. Next verse, very quickly, before my time. He said, Elisha said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. And that is why I say proximity again. Elisha did not ask her, do you have neighbors? He just said, go and ask them. Let me help somebody. The day that your miracle will come, hope is not as if you have fought with all your neighbors. And when God asks you to go and ask your neighbors, you do not have any neighbor to have than one. Because your miracle will be within the confines of how many neighbors you have. It's not just that you have neighbors, but that you're good to all your neighbors. Because a miracle was dependent on how many neighbors she's able to collect empty jars from. If she has fought with all of them, she will have just one jar to collect. Maybe broken jar said, yeah, take a pity, daddy. Take broken jar. What will broken jar do when it's trying to pour oil? It will still waste the oil. So, Elisha did not say, hope you have been good to your neighbors. He just said, he assumed that, go and meet your neighbors. Ask for empty jars. And look at what he said. He said, don't ask for just a few. That on the day when God wants to help your destiny, hope you know there was a story in the Bible. When Elisha still wanted to die, he was about to die. I think that should be 2 Kings 13, if I'm not incorrect. He called the king. The king, they have been disturbing him. He now called the king. He now said, carry your arrow, because this is the arrow of the Lord, and the hand of God is upon his arrow. He now said, shoot. Shoot from the mount, from your window towards something. This guy just carry arrow and shoot, maybe like just 3 times. He said, kill him and see honor. He said, if you have shot, he said, now, because you shot just 3 times. He said, you are going to have victory for just 3 times. He said, if you have shot more than that, then the victory will have been undisputable, invisible. So when God is saying, go and be productive, you are taking it to your local government. You are taking it to your village. Because now we say be productive. Most people are thinking to small things they can do in their life. And that's why I say perception of productivity. Perception of productivity. I have said before, if it is African that invented television, sincerely we will still be using combat. Those combat television. Why? Because the achievement, the sense of, may I generate television. Television. And that's why these guys are not waiting. I am very sure a time is going to come. TV, these are you carry TV. Like last screen, you just carry them in your pocket. I'm telling you, last screen, you just carry, a time is coming. When last screen, you see all those things you are watching movies, that you say it's not real yet, it will soon become real. That they do hologram, they are talking to somebody, they do whatever, they just cast something like this. This is the TV. You understand? The whole TV of the church. I'm not putting, this is the TV I'm holding. And then I just do like this. Because those guys are not stopping. When it comes to productivity, your perception is very key. Very key. So, he was expanding our mind. He said, hey, go and borrow plenty of, don't borrow a few, because now you're going, now you say you have little oil. Now you're not still going to work. Don't borrow a few. Borrow as much as you can from your neighbors. And I've often said it. I say most times, one of the reasons why the blessed look like they are cursed is because the limited God will bless them. Yeah. That is, if you have a limited channel through which God can bless you, it can also limit how blessed you can become. And that is why you see that people are saying something like multiple stream of income. Take for instance now. Hope you know, I will not be shocked. Assuming maybe there's this rich man in Africa that is in Nigeria. You understand? Almost everything he's selling now. He's selling cement, he's selling flour, he's selling sugar, he's selling dumi, he's selling whatever. The only thing that is left for him to sell is human beings. Because there's something called multiple stream of income. Multiple stream. Now he has gone into petrol, he's going to diesel, he's going to whatever. I will not be shocked if he starts producing car. Electric cars. What have you provided for God that he can bless you through? He said, don't ask for it, just a few. Next verse, very quickly, we call my time. He said, then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars. And as each is filled, put it to one side. Next verse. He said, she left him and afterwards shut the door behind her and her sons. And can we read together? They brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. Next verse, very quickly. When all the jars were filled, she said to her son, bring me another. But he replied, what? There is not a jar. Then the oil, hope you know that the oil will have stopped flowing from how many jars he had. That's why when the prophet was advising her, he said, don't borrow just a few. If she had borrowed two, the oil will have stopped flowing once he sees there is no more jar. The productivity in your life is tied to how many jars you have available for the oil to be poured into. How many jars you have available for the oil to be poured into. We are not just saying be productive. We say maximize your productivity. Perception of productivity. And then the last thing that is there is what? He said, she went and told the man of God and he said, go and do what? Sell the oil and pay your debt. You and your sons can live on what is left. Because what happened is that, assuming her perception was not heightened, what will have happened to her is that she will have even not have enough to pay off her debt. The man of God did not say, oh, people, after he has given her the instruction, he said, answer. Then the remaining one, live on it. You know that? Do you know what it means for them to live on it? On what is left? But today is not even for me, because another thing I discovered, the man of God did not ask her. You see, when God wants to lead you, your preparation is always involved. Do you know what happened? Another thing I noticed that the man of God did not ask her is that, do you know how to say? Please, what was she looking for? Was it not money? It was not money she was looking for. Was it money they gave her? They gave her oil. After she was giving oil, she was expected to sell the oil. There's someone in Proverbs where the Bible says the sluggard put his hand into the pot. He is too timid to bring it. There's so much around you that you are too timid to bring out. This sermon today is for you. You have so much around you, so much resources. Your challenge is not a resources problem. It's that you don't even know how to sell. You see, if you give me concern, I was listening to somebody and he said that when it comes to entrepreneur, be ready to take the shame. Everybody talking about Ura Padaka, you know, when he came here, do you know how? You see, most time people desire people's glory without hearing the story. Do you know how many places he has pitched his idea to that he did not buy into it? But he did not give up. Because most times when people come to me, and I know them very well, and they say they want to go and do business, especially the one that involve sales. I used to tell them that, are you mentally ready? Because you know, if you are not mentally ready, take for instance, you want to go and start church because you think that your friends will come. And then the day of the inaugural meeting, they truly came. And they post the picture. Then all of a sudden, you now created a broadcast. there are cases where they even create that is keeping you to broadcast it. Then the first one that you send the broadcast to, he first block you. And went to his status. That is blocking from telling me. I went to his status and said, I don't know what is wrong with children of nowadays. That when God called them, they will not be patient to grow. You got that message very well. Hope you know that then after some times, the people that are friends, I said, I thought they would come. They did not even post, they did not even ask you about the ministry. They did not ask you about anything. They just left you on your own. And then by default, you start keeping malice in your heart that, which friends be? No be friends of what friend. Now they make growth grow. Eh? Friend, no support friend. Then, you are not saying, then you now went on your status. I say, it's the friend that supports me that I also show up for. The friend that supports me I also show up for. Then you are abusing every person on your status. I don't know what friends are for. It's the entitlement mentality you are having. Because when we wanted to start the building church, and thank God for what God is doing here. Thank God for all the people I'm seeing. But I have said it to my wife. I said even to the leaders. I said the first two members I have is my wife and my daughter. Those are the two members. We are, in fact, as it stands now, the building church had three members. And I was going to preach my heart to those three members because I was not entitled to any person. This place, you don't understand the story until I said it. This place did not start as a church. We started as a ministry. What ministry does is that paraministry is that people will go to their churches in the morning and then in the evening they will not come and join us. So when we are making the announcement, some leaders have leadership, whatever, in other churches. When they were coming to join us, we did not make it compulsory. That, hey, leaders, hey, have I served you? Say yes. Hey, have I blessed you anytime? Say yes. Did you eat chicken? Say yes. Did you play game? Yes. Yes. Do you take our AC? Yes. Now, if you don't want the thunder of God to deal with you, there was no threat. That is, now, there are only two places where you are permitted to join, and when you want to go out, you can't go out easily. Number one, the grave. Number two, court. You understand? If you join court, they say it's free. You can join easily. When you not say, okay, you are joining freely, you say yes. Now, let me freely go. You say it doesn't happen. So, a church is not a court. The exit door is open and the whatever door is opening. The entrance door is open. So you get, but we can also close every devilish exit door. That the reason why somebody say it's not come to church, say, I'm not going to church because this was too much. That's devilish. Are we on the same page? So, when it comes to perception, when it comes to re-perception, you are going to have to tighten up. You want to go and sell goods, you want to go and sell whatever. They don't sell things like that. That you enter a shop, you understand? You enter an office and say, this is me, my name is Adekunle Ade Roju Omologun Shogo, who can be last. Then I say, what happened? That's one person that even listen to you because of that, we don't look at you and like, then what happened? I said shoe. Say, does this office look like we are buying shoes? Do we sell football? Do we do whatever? Leave this place. That is you that want to start a business. And the idea was making sense in your head that by the time I enter offices, if I enter, you know, after that, you'll be crying as you are carrying back the shoe. But when it comes to selling the hall, they did not answer, do you know how to sell? There are some skills that you are going to have to build before you reach the maximum of your productivity. That when God smiles on you, they are not going to go and be saying that, do you know how to? Take for instance now, you have been trusting God for car, but the only thing you know how to drive is a PS car. When you are playing PS, you are driving fast and furious. Then somebody now call you to Lagos and say, come and pick a car. They are not doing bati. Because are you preparing for what you are praying for? You have been saying that you are going to be, you are a tech bro that is broke. Tech bro. Then I say, okay, finally, tech bro, come. He say, what can you do? He say, I can do a lot. Everything tech. He say, start from somewhere. He say, what do you want me to do? And I say, okay, this is whatever. This is what something price that type this thing. Then you are sweating inside. Like, may you know you miss your opportunity when it comes, because everything you have been praying for, you should prepare for it. Are we getting blessed or blessed? So the man did not ask Elijah. Did not ask him, do you know how to sell? What did Elijah ask him? Go and sell. All right. Now I want to highlight some benefits of being productive. Are we getting blessed or blessed? Number one.
Number one benefit of being productive is that it fulfills divine mandate. Yeah, it fulfills divine mandate. God asks us to reproduce. It's fulfilled divine mandate. As seen in Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. Number two, it attracts favor and visibility. It attracts favor and visibility. Proverbs chapter 22 verse 29. The Bible says, see that a man diligent in his work, he will not stop before men, he will stop before who? Before kings. So, it attracts favor and visibility. I remember there was a time, somebody reached me, and he was asking if he needed somebody that can be a pastor in one of these European nations. And then he asked me that, do I know any person? And sincerely, the person that was coming to my mind, because then we were still running a ministry, the person that was coming to my mind was Pastor Me. So I asked him, I said, do you have any plan to travel out? Please be seated. Do you have any plan to travel out? Do you have any plan? He said, no. That's why I did not recommend him again. Because a level of wickedness is that somebody have an opportunity to go and do better. And then you do not give them the opportunity. That is wicked. In fact, no. That is witchcraft. Because serving us, is serve us. And it is serving us. So what it does is that productivity, it attracts people and visibility. Hope you know, if you say you sew clothes, I will ask you to sew one for me first. Before I come to church and say, Mr. David, he sew clothes. And then all of a sudden, the complaint I'm having in church is that our clothes, you are sewing clothes for brothers that look like skirts. When they want to climb back, the bike man will have to come. Please be seated. And you are asking me to, you brought the product. You just imagine it to me for a while. You say this is a seed. Hope you know that it's not all your seeds that are really proceed to be seed. Some are weed in disguise. And that is why you brought a seed to the man of God. He could not wear it. He tried wearing it. It's his wife that has to help him to adjust it. Proficiency. It attracts favor. That when they think to your, when they think to any person, they think to you first. Hope you know that it's not making any sense that all of you are doing things in this place. You take for instance, you say you do cake. Let me even leave cake. That you're a fashion designer. And then in my heart, I've been praying that God will bless you with clothes. Okay, continue. That this guy is a fashion designer. He is saying he's a fashion designer. And then in my heart, I say, Oluwa, Lori Matu Ejueba and Funla Shop. Because it will not work for you. Why are you exporting it? If you saw those things you are sewing for you, and then we ask you that, they say, ah, what do you do? You say, I'm fashion designer. Wow. You're fashion designer. When do you start? You say, for the past 1 year. Eh? For the past 1 year, you say, yes, now. You say, have you not been seeing the clothes that we went to church? Because, hope you know that some people, when they show up and say, I do fashion design, I say, you do fashion design. I've been waiting to ask for who your tailor has been. It has been on my mind. You do fashion design, please, I'm going to sew 7 clothes. Come and take my measurement. It's not a seed though, I'm sewing. Because I don't think there's any person here. Wait, let me quickly say it now. So I will balance this. I don't think there's any person here that does business. And then you bring quotation for me and I say reduce it. The shame will not even allow me to do it. Any quotation you bring. Now, I'm not saying you should not be honorable. Now, listen to me. This is what I'm saying. That because I not say that this night, I say, I don't know. Pastor Emma, go invoice me. Messenger, see, you will hear my invoice. But that me and a member, we're not arguing over price. Kai, not me. But no, now wait. If it's for church, we will argue it. Because we want to do everything for church to make sure that we're saving money. Because now you now say, so I sell speakers. I sell whatever. And then you brought quotation. The one on Jumia is 200,000+. Your own is 1.7 million. That's when I should know that your name should have been Judas Iscariot. Pro Max Judas Iscariot. Are we on the same page? So what does he attract again? Productivity attracts what? Yes, people and visibility. As you are sitting here now, I want you to go and ask your friends that if they think of your name, what do they think to first? What problem do they think you are solving?
That if anything come to mind, now take for instance, any person asks me anything, and that's why I say he was the first person that come to mind, because me, I did not have any mandate to travel out of anywhere. That's why I first asked, I said, do you have any plan to travel out? Because there's an opening. Somebody just asked me that. Do I know pastors that are willing to travel? And me, I know, I can recommend you that I'll be able to sleep peacefully. So that, because there is passing time. So they told me 2 a.m. when I'm sleeping, they're calling me, say, the pastor you brought, home on TV, one will know you. He said, you know. He did not tell me, and then you are not swallowing relationship. You say, recommend him pastor, we have recommended you. You are not going there to go and be doing like a tout. He said, well, bad won't be. We are a power money in Kenny. Help him money tout. Tout. Help him most tout. He said, how do you have a pastor Jerry? He said, me pastor Jerry, no. I say, Jerry, car. Hey, Jerry, car. Productivity. Productivity is attract favor and visibility. If you see a mask, if you are abusing empty. That nonsense. And yet you have not changed. For the past 5 years, you have not changed the same. Now he is rising. Take for instance now. Hope you know that ShopRite actually does not have competition in the world. That is the truth. It doesn't. You have abused that I will not come back. You have been saying, is that you treat your customers? If you will not come back, don't tell them. Is that you treat your customers? You will not see. Hey, say we are sorry. You will not see me again. You will not see me again. Okay, you will not beg me. You say again. Now, why should we beg you? Because the truth of the matter is, once there is no competition for a thing, those guys just stand out. I've said something before called the law of compensation. This is what the law says. The law says you will be rewarded in life based on number one, what you do. Number two, based on the skills and the expertise with which you do what you do. Number three, based on the difficulty in replacing you. How difficult is it to replace you in that thing you are going? It's not competition. You just know you are good. Let me now bring it home. That you are good does not mean you're not going to be a busy person. You about win Kemo Wama. I want the number one in Nigeria. Hope you know that sometimes we go, there's a place where me and my wife, when we are going, we used to buy bread. So the first day I attended to this woman, the woman I used to buy bread from was not around. So I went to this other woman's shop and I bought like, is it 3 bread? I can't remember. And she packed everything, put them like this and said, I should take. I said, mama, you will not put inside lilon. She said, I need lilon. I'm the one that want to buy bread now. Yeah, need like, pound one lilon. She said, lilon. 3. I said, So what happened is that once the other woman is not around, I'll just pass him. Once the other woman is not around, I'll not pass. Even if the bread I'm looking for, the kind I'm looking for, if the other woman have, I'll not buy. I'll still go. Because to be discussing, can you come bread? Can you come whatever? Because let me help you. We are the good one. The beautiful ones are not born yet. You see, when everybody is hyping, what is the name of this one now? iPhone. They are hyping them, but they are hyping them. You who are not alive, do you not care? Hope you know if you are holding anything that is not Nokia, you are poor. Techno used to coach in co. You understand? Do things, and they shout, they make all manner of noise. Just one simple, ridiculous decision. Partnership with Windows. What is that? The same Nokia. I'm saying Nokia now. Some of you are going to say, is he a cooking test? The same Nokia are now struggling in the same market that they once dominated in Nigeria. Just one simple mistake, one decision, one like this. May your steps be guided. Wait, this is the prayer. May your step be guided and may your utterance be guided. May your step be ordered. And may your utterance be guided. I think you need to write that prayer down. May your step be ordered and may your utterance be guided. Because by what thing you said to people, they can just say, oh, it's one, just one. I hope you know it's like egg. Once it breaks, pan, you can't do ever. And pray for yourself. Say, Father, may my utterance be guided. In the name of Jesus, please be seated. Number two, it brings satisfaction and joy. It brings satisfaction and joy. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 13.
He says it's the gift of God that make a man rejoice in the work of his hands. Then number four, open doors of opportunity. It's open doors of opportunity. Matthew 25 verse 21. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. I will make you ruler over many things. Number five, it strengthens influence and legacy. It strengthens influence and legacy. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Alright, so very quickly, let me give us call my time. Perception. Productivity. Perception of productivity. I know something here. Productivity begins with perception. If you cannot see it, you cannot seize it. If you cannot see an opportunity, you can't seize it now. Seize is spelled S-E-I-Z-E. It's different from C-E-A-S-E. Are we on the same page? Take for instance, when the Bible says pray without ceasing, that is not talking about maybe see something for secondary school. It's in a season. Are we on the same page? So, what do I see productivity? Productivity begins with what? Perception. If you cannot see it, you cannot. What you see determines what you produce. Your inner world will always reflect. Your outer world, rather, will always reflect your inner world. Example, scriptural example is what we saw in 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 1 to 3. He said, what do you have in your house? What do you have in your house was the first question. Genesis chapter 13 verse 14 to 15. God was saying unto Abraham, he said, as far as your eyes can see, I will give to you. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 11 and 12. He said, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. Then Proverbs chapter 23 verse 7. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, I want to give you five kingdom laws and principles of perception that drive productivity. That is five laws and principles of perception that drive productivity. Number one is called the law of internal vision. Somebody say the law of internal vision. It was Reverend Sam Adeyemi who says, he said the first miracle God performs for any person is to open his eyes. And that is the first miracle. So, this law explains that what you see internally determines what you pursue externally. So, the law of internal vision states that what you see internally determines what you pursue what? Externally. So, many are praying for provision but lack vision. Because God can only give allocation in your location and provision for your vision. Allocation in your location and provision for your vision. God does not send rain where there is no seed. God does not send rain where there is no seed. The second law that you see in Genesis chapter 2 verse 5 and 6 very quickly, that's first one. Genesis chapter 2 verse 5 and 6. He said, and no shrub of the field had appeared on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord had not yet sent what? The rain where? On earth. For what? There was no man to walk the ground. So you are praying for God. Oluwa, send rain, send rain. The Bible says, God is asking, where is the seed? So God does not send rain where there is no seed. That is the law of internal words, internal vision. The second principle is the principle of divine perspective. The principle of divine perspective. This principle explains that you must see from God's point of view, not man's point, not man's view. God always redefines people's identity before sending them, as he did to Gideon, as he did to Moses, and as he did to Jeremiah. For instance now, for that of Gideon, from a fearful man, God made him a mighty man, right? Now, do you know the irony? When God went to go and meet him, he was hiding. God was seeing the end result. He was seeing his present state. Are we on the same page? Take for instance now. God was seeing a mighty man of valor. He was seeing a mighty man of valor. That is from Genesis, whatever. Every mighty man of valor there. Because I hope you know that if God say, I will bless you, you are the one hearing the way. Yes. Once God say, I will bless you, you are the one putting will there.
God cannot say, I will. God has blessed you. He just take your responsibility to walk into it. Because God is at the head. He is saying that you are a blessed man. So, yeah, I will bless you, I will bless you. It means that I will make you into a great nation. You already made into a great nation. He now takes your partnership to walk into it. Glory to God. So, it happened to Moses. It happened to Jeremiah. And then, there's the third law. It's called the law of value recognition. Value recognition. I will not dwell too much on this because I will restate all of them later. If you can't see value in what you have, you will never maximize it. Just like that man. Hope you know, but that when he was alive, the oil was still at least a bit much. But when he died, the oil was very little. It was already extremely little. Why? Because he's not still valuing the oil. Elisha asked the widow, what do you have? Not what do you lack. It's what do you have? What do you have? So God works with what you see as valuable. I want you to take note of that. God is going to work with you as what you see as valuable. And this is why I'm praying for you. That thing you have despised, that you have called a little. Where that, if that is where the road chosen for you, in the name of Jesus, may your eyes be open to see all the value there is. In the name of Jesus. This is where I now want to dwell a bit. This fourth law. The fourth law is called the law of mental framing. The law of mental framing. And the last law is actually the law of seed. The law of seed vision. But I'm going to dwell a bit on this, the law of mental framing. Because of my time, George Mayer said this. He said, where the mind goes, the man follows. Where the mind goes, the man follows. It defeated, now this is the explanation of the law of mental framing. A defeated mindset produces defeated results. Your belief system is the soil where productivity is planted. Some of you are not writing. I'm not asking you to meditate on this. Let's write. The law of mental framing says a defeated mindset produces defeated results. Your system, your belief system is the soil where productivity is planted. Please permit me to use this scripture and it will help you a lot. And then we'll be ready to pray. Numbers 13 from verse 27, because of my time, please let me very fast. And then after that Numbers 13 from verse 27 to the last verse. And then you jump to 14 from verse 4 to 9. Very quickly because of my time. What did I call the law of mental framing again? Framing is spelled F-R-A-M-I-N-G. What did I call the law of mental framing again? Yes, your belief system is the soil where productivity is planted. Alright, please can we read it together? 1, 2, 3, go. This is the story of the spy. They asked him to go and spy the land. Alright, please can we read it together? He said they gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us. And it does flow with milk and honey. And here is his fruit. Now listen to this. This guy went to spy the land. They came with the result. That is mental framing I want us to do. They came with the result. And said, this is what we reproduce. Eba. Next verse very quickly. But, he said then, they said, but the people who live there are powerful. And the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. Next verse very quickly. He said the Amalekites live in the Negev and all of that gives and all of that. Next verse because of time. He said, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up at once and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Next verse very quickly. He said, but the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And then while I was reading this, God said to say to some of you that you are going into a feat. Maybe take tech, for example. Take politics, for example. You say, well, we can't take it. The people there are stronger than us. One of the places where Christians have run away from for a long time is kingdom prosperity. They have beclouded kingdom prosperity, and now that the church is trying to prosper, then there are people that are now coming in another angle again and saying that the kingdom prosperity is business. You know, there was a man of God that said something that nobody can retire him and all of that. And then people start saying, family business, family whatever, no problem. You see, since when you know that the thing is family, is business, I want to encourage you. Come. Come and start the business. Church is business, Abi. No problem. Come and start the business. In 2 months, if you are still in ministry, it will be a discovery. Oh, you think you can blackmail people to carry off? You know that the first thing that people, if someone can submit, if someone can commit his resources, it can commit his life. That now you are going to wake up and say people should bring tithes. Well, try it now. If that is business, well, try it now. Open church. Say that, well, bring your tithe. Wow. Business. So, in their mind, these guys were like, we can't go there. They are stronger than we are. Could it be that that tech idea God has given to you, that is saying that you are going to be a tech to the hands of the world, you taught to Sango? That even Sango said, you say you cannot be the best. Mark Zuckerberg was, how old was he when he started Facebook? They have inputted possibility into the mind of this guy so much that they don't see possibility. Elon Musk, the earth has not collapsed. Why are you carrying people to space travel? Do you know how much billions of dollars are being invented into space travel? That you want to go and be putting people in Mars. Kilos he hates. Tell yourself, any feet God put me, I am well able to take it at once. Tech, business, clothing line, anywhere, politics. Because now you say politics, they dirty game, oh, hi, you are not better. Politics. Then everybody's running, they are making decisions on our behalf. That nobody can voice anything out there. Because if you take the percentage, the real truth is that they are not, okay, said, there are not much Christians in politics. That is the truth. Even the ones that are here that you think they are Christians, they don't have Christian names. So he said, the people said, they are stronger now. Now, did that not even give me concern? It's the next one that gave me concern. He said, and they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devoured those living in it. How come the United States, is it making sense? You said there are giants in it. Now, you're not saying that the people that are dead, that the land used to eat them. He said, and all the people who we saw are of great size, next verse. Because for that space that God is sending you to, you are going to see people of great size, but you're also of greater size. The law of mental framing. Now, this is what they now said. He said, we saw the Nephilims there. The descendant of Anak comes from the Nephilim. He said, we seem like grasshopper in our eyes. I believe that. That was how they framed themselves. But the next line, I don't believe that. But that one. He said, and we look the same to them. Were you in their eyes? It is okay that you say you look like grasshopper. But why are you not also telling us that when the people saw us, we look like grasshopper to them? Were you in their eyes? I'm not like grasshopper. That feed is too small for me to take. Now, very quickly, I want to highlight, time may not permit me to read through the things I want to read through. The scripture I want to read through. But you can read that, Genesis 14 verse 4 to 9. Okay, give me verse. Next verse, please. This is what Joshua, next verse. This is what Joshua now said. Next verse. This is what I want some of you to take, to be saying. He said, if the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land. He said, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Next verse. He said, only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because he will swallow them up. He said, their protection are gone. But the Lord is with us, do not be afraid. Any field you want to go into, that look like there are giants, there are whatever there, I am telling you, that their protection have left them. Do not be afraid. You are going to go and take that fish. Power of productivity. The mind, the power of mental, the law of mental framing. Now, when that is now said, actually, that I want to take note of is this. There are practical steps to face your giants. Number one, identify the giants first. Write down exactly what your own giant is this week. That thing God has placed in your mind that you think that can never be achieved. Me. Then God says something else. No. Identify what the giant is. Then next, recall your past victories. Has God ever helped you in your life before? Is it now that he will not leave you behind? Recall your past victories. Then equip yourself. So you not say, I don't want to take the land. Equip yourself. That is, get the right skills, tools, and counsel needed for the battle ahead. And then stay in your flow. Stay in your flow means that don't be jumping from one pillar to another. Stay in that thing that God has embedded into you. And then take decisive action. Procrastination is the breeding ground for bigger giants. Procrastination is the breeding ground for bigger giants. I want you to declare this with me. This week, I refuse to be intimidated by the size of my challenge. I will confront it, walk through it, and turn it into testimony of God's grace and diligence. Have you been blessed or blessed?
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope you've been blessed. This is The Building Church. Our core values are spiritual growth, service and impact, personal development, honor, excellence, love work, faith, family life, and societal transformation. And our pillars are the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, prayer, and reaching out. Join us for our Sunday Glorious service at 8 a.m. and our midweek service every Wednesday by 5:30 p.m. at the Building Church behind Bekadim's Tanke Okiodo, Ilorin, Kwara State. Please follow us on all social media platforms at the Building Church. Stay blessed.